You and I back together again Friday, April 15th, 2022 on Connecticut Today. We spoke, as we do once a month, with Journal Inquirer Manchester columnist Chris Powell. He joined us to talk about the latest in state politics, including a recent mea culpa coming from State Treasurer Sean Wooden. And speaking of thoughts about issues that affect the state that you and I read about, our monthly check-in with Mr. Chris Powell, Journal Inquirer Manchester, former managing editor, still a columnist there. Chris is tossing around a bunch of things going on here in the state, and Chris joins us for his monthly check-in. Hey, Chris, it's Paul here. How are you, sir?
Oh, still dressing myself, Paul. Thank you. Usually by the end of the day.
I guess that's a plus, Chris, isn't it? Yeah. Before they come along and say, Mr. Powell, are you okay? Yes. Your latest column, Chris, the headline, Wooden's Idea Great But Late and Lamont Fudges on Taxes. How about that? First of all, Sean Wooden, who, as you've noted, Chris, and other people around the state, really kind of found himself in the middle of it with the unclaimed property. So what's the latest on that?
Well, when the Connecticut Mirror back in January did a wonderful investigative story about the unclaimed property program supervised by the Treasurer's Office, the reporters found that the program had taken $2.3 billion of the public's money in the previous 20 years, but had returned barely a third of it to the public, and state government had kept the rest. And that was happening because the Treasurer's Office wasn't looking too hard for the people who lost those assets. When the story was published, the Treasurer's Office put out a big lie. They said that state law prohibited them from advertising the unclaimed assets worth $50 or less. Well, it turned out there was no state law that prohibited the Treasurer's Office from doing a better job to get the money back to people. But the Treasurer has decided not to run for re-election, but he has come up with a solution here. He has asked the legislature to enact a law giving the Treasurer's Office access to state government's various databases of names and addresses. So the Treasurer's Office can track people down, on their own initiative and get the money back to people right away. And that certainly is the solution that we should have been following for 20 years. Better late than never. And I don't want to blame the Treasurer entirely for this. This racket has been going on, as the Mirror story suggested, for many, many years, with the knowledge of different governors and many legislators and many treasurers. They were very happy to not do a very good job tracking the public down to return their assets, because the state would spend the assets, and the state would spend a lot of the assets on the public financing program for political campaigns that benefited the elected officials who didn't want to fine the owners of the assets terribly much.
Yeah.
But if the Treasurer's legislation passes, it looks like the state will do a lot better getting those assets back to the people who really own them.
And, Chris, it's funny you mention that, because people would ask me from time to time, they say, how does this public financing thing work? And I explain a lot of what you did, and I said, well, a lot of the money comes from unclaimed assets, Chris. And people would look at me with this incredulous face and goes, there's that many unclaimed assets? I guess there were, huh? I never thought it was to that extent.
The mayor said it was, $2.3 billion over 20 years. So, that's a lot of money that could have been returned to the public that state government didn't try too hard to return.
All right, we'll talk about taxes straight ahead. Chris Powell, Journal Inquirer Manchester's with us. Chris, back to you momentarily. First at 4:36 on the 6s. Traffic and weather together right here on WICC. 600 AM, 107.3 FM, and of course online, WICC600.com. Our monthly check-in with the Chris Powell, columnist, writer for the Journal Inquirer Manchester. Chris's latest column is out. We talked about the controversy and the push to remedy what was going on with the Treasurer's Office. Now to taxes. And, Chris, if it sure is an election season from dog catcher on up, taxes are a hot topic. What do you write about this week on that pertaining to the Lamont claims?
Well, the governor is proposing some tax cuts. He wants to reduce the maximum rate for property taxes on cars. Of course, we've got a reduction in the or temporary reduction anyway in the gas tax. He's going around saying that he has not raised taxes during his administration. The Connecticut mayor guys did a look into that the other day and found that, well, actually, the Lamont administration has raised taxes just in a less visible way. Probably the biggest tax increase the Lamont administration imposed was the postponement of a $517 million cut in the tax on hospitals, which of course is a tax people don't see directly. The hospitals put it in their bills and bills to insurers. So it's a very nice gimmick for state government to tax hospitals, because you know the public just doesn't see it as much. You know, public will blame the hospitals and the doctors and the insurance companies for what's really an increase in taxes. But anyway, the mayor guys noted that is a huge $500 million tax cut that had been scheduled, and the Lamont administration canceled it. There were some other similar prospective tax cuts that were canceled as well. So it's really not correct to say that the Lamont administration has not raised taxes. Actually, it has raised taxes in a pretty big way. But I think you got to give the governor credit, because if any other Democrat had been governor, they would have raised twice as much in taxes as Lamont administration did.
Yeah, and the early commercial spots online and on TV, Chris, and we have so many months to go on this, but it's interesting the governor is starting off on this kind of sunny note, like, hey, and not everything is perfect, but I'm trying, and the line, I did what the politicians couldn't do. No surprise at that, do you think? The smiles and everything's great.
Well, he's the incumbent running for re-election. He certainly doesn't want to tell everybody what a terrible job he's done. I'm not sure that this sunny disposition is persuading the public. We are coming out of the 2 years of the virus epidemic. Our state economy is certainly lagging the economies of other states. We are losing a lot of middle and upper class people to southern states, even as we're gaining some people from New York. It's not that we're so great; it's just New York is so much worse. So I think people are not in a great mood in Connecticut. I mean, we certainly should be counting our blessings, but in terms of how well state government is being run, that's a question. I mean, look, Office of Fiscal Analysis in the General Assembly reported yesterday that the governor's deal with the state employee unions is going to cost nearly $2 billion over the next 4 years. And the governor announced this deal with the state employee unions back in early March, he didn't say a damn thing about the likely cost. I mean, he did detail some of the provisions. He put in his budget a proposal like a $300 million prospective set aside for the new contract. Well, according to the Office of Fiscal Analysis, the yearly cost is going to be more like $500 million. And back in March when he announced the deal, it's like he didn't even know that the thing was going to cost $2 billion, because he didn't include that in his announcement. I wonder if he even had a clue as to what the total cost of the deal would be when he made the deal.
Yeah, and you wonder, and I did a good, your first hour of my show today, Chris, was on that very thing, and I got some calls, rather feisty from some state employees. But my point, Chris, is exactly what you said. Like, we never heard these numbers previous, and the state employees have already had to give back three times. Are we heading there again? And I'm wondering, Chris, when this finally hits the circulator, the Vigorol hits the fan coming up next week when they start to debate this whole thing, I wonder if there's going to be any pushback in an election year, Chris, from Democrats who may say, geez, we want to give you something, but we may have to scale this back a bit. Or are they just going to say, damn the torpedoes, let's just jam it through? It'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, look, the state employee unions and the municipal employee unions and the teachers' unions, these guys are the army of the Democratic Party. And, to find any Democratic state legislator who would make any trouble about the contract, that will be very rare. But I think the issue of whether the deal is going to fly through or possibly be modified is it's going to be up to the Republicans. They're a minority in the General Assembly, but they seldom make trouble for the state employee unions. And if the Republicans and Bob Stefanowski, the presumptive gubernatorial nominee, wanted to make a big enough stink about this, I think we might see some changes in it. At least I think the governor now, with a $2 billion price tag on this deal that was not announced when the deal itself was announced, I think he is immensely vulnerable on this issue.
Interesting. Chris, one more thing, if I might. Kevin Rendy of the Hartford Courant, in his Daily Ructions blog, you probably saw this, reporting that, there may be a little bit of infighting already in the state Republican Party, with Themis Claridis being the favored candidate, I guess, to go against, obviously, Richard Blumenthal. But Leora Levy has a whole lot of money, and she's already raised $1 million here. What do you think of the rumors here of rumblings like, hey, Leora, we may not want you to be the candidate here? It's already a little intrigue in that, huh?
Well, it looks to me like the Republican fear, or at least Kevin Rennie's fear, which I would say is a fair fear, is that if Levy and Claridis are both well-financed and go into a primary, they could tear each other apart and make room for the perennial candidate, Peter Lumage, to win the nomination. And nobody thinks that Lumage is capable of winning a general election, much less being well-financed. So I think that's really what Rennie was saying, that if Claridis and Levy destroy each other in a primary, it's going to very possibly lead to the nomination of the weakest possible Republican candidate, and that would be a drag on the whole state Republican ticket.
Amazing stuff. Chris Powell, our monthly check-in with Chris. Check his stuff out, folks. Journal Inquirer Manchester. Chris, thank you. Continue dressing yourself, and we'll check in next month, okay?
I'll do my best, Paul.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Powell there. As you can see, great sense of humor, but he knows Connecticut like few others. I'll tell you, he is a longtime purveyor of opinion and news at the Journal Inquirer of Manchester, which over the decades has been a great newspaper. Not the biggest paper in the state, but they do a real good job.